So this evening I want to speak to you guys like I did last week. You know, I want to be a little bit more practical in the evenings just to speak a little bit about a healthy Christianity and what does a healthy Christian look like. Who of you know what the pH level is of the human body? Any biochemists here? 5.5. You are going to die. You are already dead. 7. Hey, we're closer to 7. Yes. The normal pH balance for healthy people is between 7.36 and 7.42. So if you're 5.5, you are very sour, very acid. Awesome. Thanks, Corley. I love it. Yes, but you know, when you can read that is what pH levels and stuff is. It's not necessary to go through that, but it's you know, that sweet spot in our chemical balance where life happens. And you know, it's kind of like when you jump into a pool on like a clear pool, not like a 5.5 pool or 8.0 pool or whatever, where there's just an imbalance. If you dive into that clear pool, it's really awesome because you can open your eyes and it doesn't burn. And you see a lot of things under the water. If it's not as clean, then it doesn't really work so nice. So there's a range that we can operate in. So for instance, you know, if you go a little bit to the side, either side of that 7-point-something mean, it doesn't mean you're gonna die. Okay, so that's fine. There's a fine range there. But then there's a point of no return. Oh, there's a point where you get to a place where you are going into a dangerous spot now if you continue regarding, you know, either your acidity or your alkaline environment where you are at. So when we speak about normal, healthy Christianity, I want to use that as a backdrop for this evening so that you remember. Listen, where's my pH level at? Where's my homeostasis? Homeostasis. Hectic border. Where are you as a healthy Christian? So, you know, many times we want to make things really complicated, but I'm not going to do that. I want to make it simple so that we can understand it. So, for you to be a normal human being, what must you do? Skit met the title, somebody. You must breathe, great, eat. We've got two of my points. You must drink water, okay, I didn't have that one. Sleep, rest, hallelujah, rest I've got as well. I think I've got two more that you guys didn't tell now, but we'll get to that. So, you know, for any healthy body, the first thing that we need to do is eat. Okay? Sometimes some of us overdo it. Some of us to my right agrees with me. Don't worry. I had my December holiday, so we're going back to a little bit of a mean average now. I've been at a mean average after the holidays. I'm more mean. So the first thing we need to do is eat. And obviously I'm going to, you know, trace it back to the spiritual side of things. If you don't eat, you die. And the thing about eating, and especially when we take it spiritually, when you eat something, how much do you think about what you eat? And I'm not saying like, counting the calories, okay, that we can do. Not thinking ahead, after you've eaten something, how much thought do you give to that food? Well, apart from a burrito or something that sends you regards after you've eaten it, not much. Okay, you're not going to sit there and think, okay, I've eaten this now, so this part is going to go and sit here. And this part is going to sit here. And this part is going to help this. No, you don't do that. But what you do know is that if you don't eat, okay, firstly you get a little bit thinner. But if you don't eat long enough, then ultimately some stuff start going wrong in your body, okay? So to eat is a natural thing, but it's not something that you can trace exactly. Well, I ate some chocolate, so no. That's why when people ask me, why do we read the Bible? Well, this principle. You read the Bible because you are eating the Word of God. And you can't say, you know, this is what I've... Many times I read the Bible and I'm like, okay, that was cool, but it didn't change my life. And it's kind of like, you know, this instant gratification, devotional type of culture that we're in. Every time you read the Word, people think, no, they must jump something out of the pages, you know, and it must overwhelm you with revelation, and you must just prostrate yourself before the Lord, which are all great things to do. But to regularly just eat the Word is much more beneficial than going to sit there and, oh, I must receive. And we put ourselves under so much pressure to do that. So I want to read with you guys in I think it's John. Hallelujah. I copied only the verses. But I think it's John. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Yes, it is John 14. Hallelujah. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you may see, that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Okay? And then Jesus continues in that vein. You guys can go and read that further. Jesus says, from verse 47, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread and came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Okay, now I'm going to stop there. This is one of the most challenging parts of Scripture that I think most of us would have stumbled at when Jesus said it. Okay? So Jesus is speaking to the people and he's saying, listen, I'm this bread of life, and he's going on, and then my flesh I will give. And Jesus understands all of those things, like he says it. And then when the Jews heard this, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is drink indeed, and my is food indeed, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Imagine some sicko saying these things to a group of people. Imagine that. You know, I like to do like the Jews did and put things theologically in order. And if some guy said that, listen, I must eat his flesh and drink his blood, I'm thinking, no ways, bro. There is not a chance that I'm doing that. But Jesus said that. And just to reiterate, the hardness of the saying. Verse 60. When many of what? Of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? And then many of them left. And then verse 61. But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? And I'm like, yes, God, yes, same, yeah, yeah. Most definitely do I take offense at this. But I'm still here. Hallelujah for those that were still there. And then Jesus said, then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? And then he gives the answer to his disciples privately afterward, not in the big group. And he said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. Okay, so when it comes to this thing, you need to eat the Word of God, which is Jesus. Read it. Even if you don't understand a word that you are reading. Continually read the Word of God, because when you do that, somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit comes, you know, in a situation, somewhere at work, doesn't matter, then into remembrance comes something that you've read. And in that place, you know, it's like always great. And you don't need to quote the scriptures. Like, you need to quote the scripture, but you don't need to say, John 14 verse 6 says. Okay, demons and stuff know what scripture says. It's not like they are going to not listen when you don't quote John 14, 6 with it. Okay, so as it is in your spirit, just say it, just speak it, because it has become part of you. It is true spice. See, but the spice now, yeah. Oh, I don't know, it's spice. Nah. True food and drink for your spirit. Hallelujah. Alright, so that is the first thing that we must do. We must eat. And then we had one said that we must breathe. Now just in Genesis 2 verse 7, about God breathing his spirit into us. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. And then in Acts 17:25, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. So, when I was thinking about this spiritual breathing, I was like, many people might think, again, how we gonna breathe some spiritual breathing? It's not that, you know, it's more a place of taking in the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's the best I can do. That is the breath that God has put in us. So taking in the Holy Spirit is breathing in. So now I want you to do something for me, please. As you're sitting there, breathe in. And breathe in. And breathe in. And breathe in. And never breathe out. You cannot do that. Okay, so God has created us with lungs that goes, you know, in and out. In the physical. So when it comes to spiritual breathing, there's a place where you need to inhale and then obviously exhale as well. Now, in a spiritual place of spiritual breathing, when you take in the Holy Spirit, you know, then all feels nice, and then the Holy Spirit says something to you, like, Deval, you swore this afternoon, and then you're like, you want to take in more? Then you need to exhale and say, okay, God, I confess my sin unto you. And then after you've confessed your sin, then breathe in the Holy Spirit through his scriptures, saying, you are forgiven. Duval, I will remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. And you take that in again. So, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen the, there's a clip on YouTube that they show the earth breathing. Who of you have seen that clip? No. I took one of these satellite camera photos of like years of the same part of say the northern hemisphere, and it's amazing. And then they speed it up like 500 times or whatever, and then you see, you know, everything become green, and then everything contracting and dying, and everything becoming green, and everything. And if you see it like that, you know, because we don't really experience it, we just know it's hot now. But in the northern and the southern hemisphere, as the seasons change, it's kind of like the earth is breathing. And in that place, you know, God wants us to be focused on not just inhaling all the time, but also on exhaling. And to be quick on that. When you exhale, you know, if God convicts you of something, be quick to forgive and quick to repent. Those things are such great keys for us to live with. Quickly repent and quickly forgive. Many of us wait before we exhale. You know? Like, maybe you're waiting for somebody to come and say how truly sorry they are that they did hurt you. And you might think you are really spiritual by inhaling all of this Holy Spirit, whatever you want to say to yourself. But actually, you're not being healthy as a Christian, because you know that the Holy Spirit is convicting you. Forgive, release, exhale, so that you can live healthy. All right, I've got another one here that you guys didn't tell me, so it's exercising. Some of us do that more regularly than others. But when I speak about exercising, the first thing that our thoughts go to is, it's like our spiritual gifts. It says there in 1 Peter 4, and I'll read to you. As each one has received a special gift, do what with it? Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So, okay, this. When last did you serve somebody with your gift? Whatever your gift is, and you may have a lot of that. When last did you actively serve somebody with the blessing that God has given you? I know you do it quite often. Well, I trust that you do. But when you give of what God has given you, you know, then you're starting to exercise whatever those gifts are that God has given you. Many of us are a little bit afraid to do this. Because what if I'm wrong? What if I miss it? There's my wife. You can ask her. I miss it a lot. I missed it again this week. But God is gracious, and the people in this church is even more gracious to me. To forgive me and to go on. So what? Sometimes you do miss it, but just acknowledge that you miss it. Say, I missed that. Please forgive me. And then move on. Don't let fear keep you away from exercising the gifts that God has given you. To be a healthy spiritual person, spiritual Christian, you need to exercise your spiritual gifts. And then, last week we spoke about the Holy Spirit last Sunday evening. One of the things that I'm starting to do more regularly again is just to pray in the Spirit. Taking my spirit to the gym. Pump a par white star. in the spirit. It's one of those things that you do it, but afterward you can see how your spirit is responding differently to whatever God says. You just hear Him better. You're just more focused when He speaks. Just more focused in situations. So remember that exercising is of great importance when we get to that place of wanting to be healthy Christians. Then, hand in hand with that is evangelism. Now, this is a biggie. It's great to have your spiritual exercising done in your spiritual gifts. This one is a little bit more difficult. Weird. When we just get saved, this one's easy, man. You just share with everybody. Because God is amazing. He's changed your life. And then you get mature. And you get so mature that you don't share the gospel anymore. You do study the Bible. You do pray a lot. You do serve people. And you do all of those spiritual gifts that God has given you. It's awesome. But you start to forget the reason that we're actually here. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 5, and he says, as for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. And then that word. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. So I don't know why Paul told this to Timothy. Maybe Timothy was an amazing pastor. He was just like, everybody's covered by his natural gifting. And then Paul says, listen, do the work of an evangelist. Remember to exercise that part of you. So I'm not going to ask for hands. When last did you share the gospel with somebody that doesn't know Christ? And I'm not saying going out and just speaking to everybody. Actively, in this year, pursuing someone God has laid in your heart that doesn't know Christ. And that means praying for him, yes, or her, yes. That means visiting them, having coffee with them. But somewhere, you need to share the gospel of Christ, the good gospel, our God, Jesus Christ, that died for us on the cross. You need to share that. So, those are the things that I put down for exercising to be a healthy Christian. And then, for lack of a better word, I said relieving self. Well, there are better words, but it's just words that I cannot use here. You know, this is just such a normal part of our bodies. But it's that shameful thing. It's weird. As I grow older and I see my boys grow up, you know what the weird thing for me is? All of them had exactly the same thing when it comes to relieving themselves. And it's not the number one, it's the number two. They would go there, separate from us. And then they would do their thing. And it was just such a weird thing for me. All of them have got this kind of shameful thing about this, and if you come near, they say, "Nee, papa, gaan weg." This is me time now. Get away. And you know what? That's such a beautiful thing of just relieving yourself with the Lord. But we are so busy these days that we don't make time to get secluded with God to deal with our stuff. To deal with those things. You know, if you don't do that, you become sick. Okay? In the natural, if you don't do that, you will become sick. In the spirit, it's the same. If you do not relieve yourself, you are going to become sick. And God doesn't want us to be in that place. So, Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. So I don't know what your burdens are or what your anxieties are this evening, but those things that, and we use it a lot in our house, those things that take up mind space. It's weird. It's not something that's physically, you know, imparting anything in your life. But it actually does become a physical thing after a while. But it starts here. It starts in your mind space. You're like so preoccupied with these things constantly. And where I see it the most is if I've got that burden. Okay, well let me just put the pause there. Sometimes God gives you a prayer burden. Then you need to pray that thing through for somebody. Okay? Then you're not going to relieve yourself of the burden. God has given it to you to carry, to pray it through, and then God will remove it when He is done through you. Okay, so just make that distinction. But there are burdens that we take on ourselves that are not ours to carry. There are burdens that we take that is not given by God. And when you and I sit, and that's mostly where it happens. It happens when the rush of the day is past, the kids are in bed, and you are either washing the dishes alone, or standing in the shower alone, or whatever, wherever you are alone, then those things that burden you, those things that cause anxieties in your life, they come to the fore. Now you are fighting a battle in your head. And all of a sudden, you know, not all of a sudden, after a while, after a month, I'm like so tired physically. But the reason I'm tired physically is because I'm not unburdening before the Lord. I'm carrying all these things and I'm fighting with people in my head or situations or whatever the things are that burdens you. And then you get to that place where you are just so dead tired in a physical sense, but it's actually an emotional or spiritual thing that occupies you. You need to relieve yourself. Go to God. Unburden yourself at the Lord's throne. And I learned something great from my wife this week regarding this. And sorry, my love, if you wanted to preach about it, but I'm preaching now, so you can think out something great to preach. It was so cool. She said, in the week, she said, one thing that God has taught her is that sufficient for today is my grace for you. And what we tend to do, especially when we get to a place of feeling that anxiety, that anxiousness, that burdensomeness, we start pulling back because we want to save some grace for tomorrow. So, yes, I've got grace for today, but God, I just need to pull back a little bit and hold some of this grace so that tomorrow I've got more grace. God says no. Sufficient for today. And when is today? Today is my grace for you. So whatever that day is or has, God's grace for you for that situation, for that day, is sufficient. And for that place, you need to stretch yourself into faith. And saying, God, this is what your word says. And then sometimes we need to unburden in different ways, you know, declutter and get some stuff out of the way. But when it comes to God's grace, it is sufficient for today. So that's the second last one. Relieving yourself. And then the last one for this evening is resting. And you guys did say that. One of the things that we actually could do again this afternoon was have a nap. Praise the Lord for naps. There was a time in my life not too long ago and I thought this is never going to happen ever again. Because it's just a little bit rough in our house at that time of a Sunday morning, a Sunday afternoon. But now we can start doing that again. And it's weird as you grow older, you know, when you're a kid, it's like the worst punishment that you can have if your dad tells you to go lie down and sleep. And as you grow older, it's like, hallelujah, for a rest. We can sleep, even if it's just for 20 minutes. Let us be, amen. But resting is such an important part of being healthy. And again, you don't see these things instantly, people. So if you don't rest tonight, then in the physical sense, it's okay. You cope. But if you don't rest well over time, then it starts to impact your life. You know, your physical body starts aging prematurely. But it also starts breaking down your immune system. And there's a lot of stuff that a lack of rest does to us. But in a spiritual sense as well. But there's something that is important to remember when it comes to resting. Because this parallel you cannot take from the physical to the spiritual. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The difference between spiritual resting and physical resting is not time. It's a person. Christ is our rest. He says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." And many times we fall into that thing, you know, I just need to rest. So do nothing. But what we mean with doing nothing is, I want to watch some movies, man. I want to binge on some, I don't know what. I read an interesting article the other day, just about our millennial generation. You know, those people that was just after me. I missed it with 4 years. Those people born in 1984 and onwards. The millennials, they call them, they are those that don't know a life before technology. It's foreign to them. There was just always technology and more of it. And when those kids, you know, come to church and those places, they've never learned to slow down. They've never learned the art of resting in God. But I mean, for that you need to declutter, you need to put out a lot of stuff. And they cannot do that. It's always more. And they can't wait. And this is the interesting thing that I read, is that I saw it actually on a clip. Some of those kids, when we grew up and you watched L.A. Law, hallelujah, then you watched L.A. Law on Tuesday evenings, 8 o'clock. And you needed to wait a whole week, to watch the second episode, or whatever. And now what these kids are doing is, they don't watch anything of that season. So that when they start watching it, they can watch everything at once. So they binge themselves dead. Because they cannot wait. You know, it's better to wait for the whole season than to have that absolute menacing thing in your heart that you don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen next? Looks like Auntie Flo here is also a little bit of a millennial. She's going to bend it. But we've got a whole generation that doesn't know that art of waiting on the Lord. Being in Him. Restful in Him. And if you don't have that, then you're not going to be a healthy Christian. You're not going to be able to do normal things after a while. Because you haven't learned the disciplines of just supernatural, spiritual living. And that's what I want to encourage you guys with for this week. Go and think about your life. Think about those things that I've just scanned over this evening. And check where you are. How healthy are you as a Christian? And don't bluff yourselves. You know, ask your wife if you're married. She'll tell you where you're at. Ask your husbands, ladies. He'll actually also tell you where you're at. So, but be honest on that place. And then ask the Lord to come and show you again the things that you've forgotten about being a healthy Christian. And to be in Christ and to change this world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening, God. Thank you that as we come to you as children, God, you want to care for us. You want to look after us like a good father does. And Father, you've given us so many things, Lord, and you've even given us the natural realm, Lord God, to see kind of as in a mirror, Lord, those things that are spiritual. This fallen state, Lord, of nature, God, reveals so much of who you are and the way, Lord God, you've planned everything. And Father, we pray, Lord God, we in a spiritual sense can get into that healthy place, Lord, where we do all the things necessary, Lord, to be a healthy Christian. And we do it regularly, God. Father, I pray, Lord, for every heart here that is tired, for every heart here, Lord God, that is not in that place, Lord, of feeling well. Father, I pray, Lord, that we will get to that place in Christ, God, where your grace is sufficient for us for this day. So that we don't think we need to pull back a little bit so that tomorrow we can have more grace. But I thank you that your grace is sufficient for every single day. So Father, we honor you. We say thank you, God, for showing us life. And God, we pray, Lord, that we will have life and life in abundance in Christ in this year, God. I pray for every heart that's tired, God. Pray, Lord, that you will move us into that place, oh God, becoming healthy. Doing the things, oh God, that we need to do, even though we don't see it instantly. The change that happens in our lives, God. But we know, Lord, in the long run, the benefits will show of that. Thank you, Jesus, for your cross. And thank you, Lord, for not stopping halfway, but going through, persevering so that we can enter into this place of rest in you. And we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.